ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तमाविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। वेलकम एवरीवन टू दिस क्लास, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Yoga of Knowledge and Wisdom. Topic 3, How Brahman Manifests Itself. And this topic has four verses, verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. So the previous topics we've discussed so far, topic one was two aspects of Brahman. Number two was how Brahman manifests itself. So that's what we finished last week. And this third topic, the vicious do not know or seek Brahman. And the summary of this topic, I'll just read that to you so you have some inkling. The three gunas say, so it's the vicious do not know or seek Brahman. The three gunas, qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas, emanate from Brahman. But Brahman has no gunas. The gunas merely project an illusion on Brahman. The deluded, caught up in this illusion, have lost sight of the reality. They do not seek Brahman. Instead, they follow the demoniac way of life. So, this is the topic, the nutshell. So this third topic talks about people in society who do not know God, who do not know Brahman. So this group of people have no idea of anything beyond the world. Total spiritual ignorance. And we all know people like that. They're in total ignorance, spiritual ignorance. So throughout their life, they merely run after the world. They get involved in perceptions, emotions, and thoughts. They don't know anything else. And this is where they are. It's fine. This is where they are. Then there are people who say, I don't believe in God. If there was a God, then why is there pain and suffering in the world? This is their justification. Why are people starving? Why are there calamities in the world? So they conclude, therefore, there is no God. Because if there was, we wouldn't be having these things. So this second category. So there's one first category where people believe in God, Brahman. Second is they discard God. And third is they believe there's no God because if God was there, then these calamities wouldn't happen. So the third category actually has thought about it to the extent they can think and then come to the conclusion that there's no God. You see the difference? They don't believe in God because they've thought about it and think that if God was real, then these things wouldn't happen. Does everyone understand the three categories? Arunabhan? So this is what we're going to discuss. Hence the topic, the vicious do not know or seek Brahman. Now, vicious does not mean they're really bad people. We have a different terminology for the word vicious now. This purely means worldly people. They do not seek Brahman. They're not evil. Any questions before we chant the first verse? Okay, so we start with verse 12. Yecheva sadvika bhava rajasastamasascha ye mata evetitan vitti navaham te sute mayi. Mata evetitan vitti navaham te sute mayi. And whatever natures that are sattvika, rajasika, and tamasika, these know as for me alone. I am not in them, but they are in me. This is Lord Krishna talking, representing Brahman. He's talking from the perspective of Brahman. So the Lord is saying, I am Brahman. And he's saying, whatever natures that are sattvika, rajasika, and tamasika, these know as from me, meaning from me, Brahman. I am not in them, but they are in me. A little bit cryptic, but we're going to discuss it in more detail. Ravi, could you read paragraph one, please?
The third topic covers verses 12 to 15. It explains the plight of those who are ignorant of Brahman. They abandon Brahman and viciously run after this world. This verse gives the constitution of the world and its relation with Brahman.
Can you read the next paragraph as well, please?
Brahman manifests as three distinct gunas, qualities in this world: sattva, purity; rajas, passion; and tamas, indolence. The nature of sattva is equanimity, serenity, and poise. That of rajas, attachment, desire, and agitation; and tamas, ignorance, indolence, and inertia.
So, what this verse is saying is that the world emerges from Brahman as these three qualities. The world emerges from Brahman as these three qualities. Well, we're going to find out in more detail what this means. We have covered these terms before, but it's easier to forget them. So, tamas stands for ignorance. Someone who's tamasic, we can say he's ignorant, lethargic, lazy, sleepy, lower state of the mind. Sital tells me off sometimes, says, stop being tamasic. There are times when she says that to me. So you can see I'm giving the example because you can understand what this term means. Yeah. She never tells me to stop being sattvic. So tamas means ignorance, lethargy, laziness, sleep. Then you have rajas. Rajas means attachment, desires, mental agitations, passionate, full of desires and passion, agitated mind, running after the world. I need to do this, I need to do that. As soon as you wake up, your mind is like running, all the things that you need to do. Rajasic. Opposite of tamasic. Tamasic is lazy. Oh, what's the time? It's 9 o'clock. Yeah, I'll sleep for another hour. Rajasic can't wait to get up, so because he needs to start doing his work. Then we have sattvic. The mind is calm, pure thoughts, equanimous. It's the highest state of the mind. Stable, composed, serene,
There we go, I know.
objective,
Oh. Oh.
thinking. So this paragraph is saying these qualities come from Brahman and make up this world. This is the nature of the world. Most people are steeped in ignorance as to the knowledge of this world and themselves. They don't know much. Tamasic. Any questions on those three terminologies? And we are, human beings are made up of all three. Yeah. Even this world made up of all three. Yeah, so.
So any time that you're thinking of Brahman, is that the only time that you're being sattvic? Because in order, the ability to think of or contemplate, think, meditate on Brahman and feel that calmness, serenity, peace, that's the only time the mind is away from its mental agitations. So therefore, is that the only time that you are being sattvic?
Okay, anyone? Still asking, is it the only time you're being sattvic is when you're thinking of Brahman? When you're contemplating? What do you think? Yeah, Ravi?
It would depend where you are on your journey, because if you're stemmed in the knowledge that in your everyday life you're constantly thinking of the inner self and that, and you're calm and you're able to be rationalized with the knowledge that you have, then you're sattvic as you go. But you're not necessarily sattvic just at that one moment where you're thinking of Brahman. So you could be still Dhammas and Rajiks at that time as well, but you're just taking a minute out to think of Brahman. But it varies. It's more to be a constant, if I'm right to say that.
Yeah, totally right. Totally agree. Anybody else? Yeah, Vanita?
I think that you can only be sattvic if you can connect and think beyond the worldly desires, and that is when you're meditating or where you can connect. Other than that, your mind is all over the place. Doesn't matter what you're doing all day. That poise when you can connect to only thinking about God is the only time it can be sattvic, I think.
Yeah, good. Very good. Anyone else? So you can not believe in God and still be sattvic. Because sattvic is a nature of a person's mind, person's behavior, pure-hearted, selfless. Mind is stable, composed. They think before they talk. They're not being selfish. They're objective. What's good for the society? What's good for my family? And they're able to give advice to people that's good, helpful for them in whatever areas. And people go to a sattvic person who can be objective. Yeah. Not agitated. Wise. You can say they're wise. So sattva is a personality of a person. Like I said, we're made up of all three. But someone who might be more 80% sattvic, more composed, more calm, he may not be spiritual. He may be sattvic 80%, 20% rajasic. Not lazy, not tamasic. So these qualities come from Brahman, but they don't define someone's spirituality. Now, having said that, someone who is spiritual, who understands spirituality, God, Brahman, the chances are they are going to be more sattvic because they're not selfish. You know, they're helpful, selfless. So those qualities may bring them to become sattvic because of the teachings of Brahman. So yes, you're right in one way, but you don't have to be spiritual to be sattvic. It's a person's nature. He may not believe in God at all. Yeah, Vanita.
If that is a part of your personality, then you must have some spirituality in you to understand. No?
Possibly, but they may not be aware of God. They may have that nature as being part of their personality. Just by, you can believe in God, read the scriptures, and be vicious. Isn't it? You could be money-minded, selfish, but you're able to give classes on Gita. How is that anything to do with having a sattvic nature? How many people today? Only 30? Okay, Vanita, Shashi, Chandras, you need to go and get me more people to come to this class. Yeah, this isn't enough. You guys aren't working hard enough. Invite all your friends, all your family. I need at least 100 people by next week. Do you know what I mean? What's the motivation? So, sattvic is a quality a person has, not necessarily the fact that he's spiritual. But being spiritual, sattva can manifest in a person more easily. That quality manifests more in a person who is spiritual, but someone could be naturally sattvic. Is that clear? Does that make sense? When does that make sense? No? Go on. Why not?
Because I think that I understand what you're saying, that somebody can just be kind-hearted and that you're saying that that is the sattva in them. But then they must have to have some belief of something that their nature is that way.
They believe in humanity.
So is it just the wording is different?
What wording?
As in that they don't perceive themselves as spiritual, they're just, like you just say, they're a good
Good
human,
human being who has a calm mind, you know.
but they don't perceive themselves to be spiritual.
They might think being a good person is being spiritual.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just
Yeah.
the wording, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are a spiritual person because you're saying that you can't be, you can't, you can be only, you can be spiritual and have sattva, but I think they have it. They just don't perceive it in that context. Is that what
Yes.
you're saying?
Yes. See, if you're saying someone is spiritual, then they are in touch with Brahman, God, the spirit, and their goal in life is to become more and more spiritual so they can become one with God. So that's the terminology of being spiritual. Yeah. But a person may think that him being spiritual is just connecting with people, helping people. You know, we may say a different word for that. You know, but the quality of his state of mind is sattvic, is calm, serene, meaning he's not rajasic and he's not tamasic. You can look at it in that perspective. Yeah. Is that okay? The sound. Yeah. So
Yeah,
this is the nature of the world. This is what he's saying. We'll have more understanding as we go along. I don't know, Ben, does that make sense? Yeah.
I think it's how we conduct ourselves and how we speak and what, those natures that actually demonstrates sattvic in a sense, not necessarily that we are spiritual, because as you say, you could be doing all of that, but still not being able to be a good human being, inverted commas.
Absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely. You know, having knowledge of the Brahman God, being a Christian, you know, being able to understand the Bible, recite it, everything doesn't make you a spiritual person or make you a sattvic person. What is your goal? What is your motivation? Yeah, that's what makes you a sattvic person. Are you thinking of the other person every time?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. It's good that we got that cleared up. It's
Yeah,
okay.
it's
So,
very hopeful. I think that's very hopeful that we can actually aspire to that,
yeah.
and then climb that ladder of, thinking about Brahman and, spiritualizing everything that we do. It's just a ladder, I think, to get to that.
It's just the ladder.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ravi, next paragraph.
The world abounds in ignorance, Thomas. People know practically nothing about themselves. Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going from here? When are you going? What is your origin? How did you get here? Thus, endless questions. baffle human understanding. Human beings remain unaware that they are immersed in total ignorance. Ignorance is the base from which rajas springs forth in the form of attachment, desire, and mental agitation. Rajas drives people to desire-prompted activities and renders their minds restless. As and when tamas and rajas reduce, sattva increases. The world becomes more peaceful, serene, and poised.
So, saying most people are steeped in ignorance as to the knowledge of this world and themselves. They're so involved in the world, they know nothing else. And it brings up certain questions. Who are you? Where did you come from? Where are you going to from here? Meaning this life. They don't know the answers. Don't know anything. But they say we have a PhD. I'm a CEO of a company, successful company, which is fine. These are world activities. But from a spiritual perspective, they're zero. Yeah. This is ignorance. Spiritual ignorance we're talking about. So he's saying this ignorance is rajas. The quality of this ignorance is rajas. And majority of people in the world these days are rajas, meaning they're ignorant. They're in the world, and everything they're doing in the world, they have no time or the inkling to think of anything beyond the world. Few people are sattva, and few people are tamas. Majority is rajas. 1,000 years ago, people were more sattvic. You know, you get all these Ramayana and Gita and all the stories, and most people are sattvic. So more peace. A lot more peace. Here you look in the world now, everywhere there's something going on. Every continent there's something going on. So sattva has reduced over the years to rajas. Now in the future, tamas will be the norm. We're reducing ourselves. We kind of become even more lazier. AI is coming up. All the work will be done by AI. You don't even have to think anymore. You know, I've just used AI a couple of times. You know, you want to write a letter or something. Everything is done for you. You don't have to think. You don't have to use your brains anymore. So what will that do? How will it devolve us? More tamasic. So you see, over the time, thousands of years, everybody was primarily sattvic. Now, thousands of years later, everyone is primarily rajasic. Give it another few hundred years, everyone will be tamasic. This is the way we're all going, heading. Some people, you know, they can't even write anymore because everything is doing typing. Lost that quality. Before you go from A to B, you have to read the A to Z, plan your route, everything. Everything is Google Maps now. God forbid you go somewhere and you lose your phone or the phone conks out. What would you do? You heard about that couple driving and the Google Maps told them to turn right and they ended up in a river. So they're not using anymore their brains anymore. Everything's reliant on computer. So this makes you more tamasic. So it's saying, this paragraph, due to this ignorance, most people are rajasic, and all they're doing is pursuing fulfilling desires to find peace and happiness. That's all they're involved in. This is where the world is going. Any clarifications on that? Anyone disagree? It's okay to disagree. So these questions, Who are you? Where did you come from? Let's answer them. At least then we don't have that ignorance. So it says people are tamasic, bound in ignorance. They don't know the basics. Who are you? Who are we? Who are we? Yeah, Tamash.
We are Brahman.
We're Brahman. We're the self. The core being we are is our spiritual person, the self. Where did we come from? Where did we come from? Vanita? Not from, I'm not talking about your parents, yeah? Where did we come from?
From Brahman.
From Brahman. Where are we going after this? Sorry?
To Brahman.
If you're lucky, you're putting a lot of effort.
I'm wishing.
if you put in the effort.
Might take a few lifetimes, but
so if we're lucky, we go back to Brahman. If not, then we rebirth. Yeah, Dharmesh.
Still in Brahman.
Sorry?
The world is Brahman. The world is Brahman as well.
Absolutely. But due to ignorance, we don't understand that. This is the problem. The ignorance deep. Ignorance is there because we don't understand that. You see? Everything is Brahman in the world. And we're going to, that's what the next verse says. But the minute this class is finished, everyone forgets that everything is Brahman. That's the problem. Me, you, and I. Isn't it? That's the problem. What is your origin? Saying what the next question is, what is your origin? We are the self, but due to our desires and our ignorance, we've taken this birth. But our real personality is divinity. How did we get here? Because of our ignorance. But these are the questions it's saying. People don't know this. They're ignorant of this. But everyone in this class today, they know the answers to that questions. Any clarifications? Okay, Ravi? Paragraph 3.
Krishna pronounces that the gunas have emerged from him, that the gunas are in him, but he is not in them. Krishna uses me to mean Brahman, the Supreme God. Brahman projects the gunas and their worldly expressions out of itself, as the ocean projects waves with all their surface disturbances. The waves are in the ocean, but the ocean is not in the wave. The waves are limited. They go through birth and death. The ocean is unlimited, without birth or death. The waves are disturbed. The deep ocean supporting the waves remains ever quiet and serene. Similarly, the world may be disturbed and agitated, but Brahman remains ever peaceful and blissful. Thus, Brahman stays unaffected by the qualities and properties of the world that it projects.
Lord is saying these qualities, these three qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas, are not in me, meaning they're not in Brahman. It's confusing. The world emerges from me as these qualities, but these qualities are not in me. What does that mean? This quality, the world emerges from me as these qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas, but these qualities are not in me. What does that mean? Yeah, Vanita?
They don't define God. They don't define Brahman like the waves don't define the ocean.
Yeah.
So they are qualities in the world, but beyond the world, It doesn't need to be there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're on the right ballpark. It's hard to get your head around it. That's why I'm asking. Anybody else? What does that mean? Krishna pronounces that the gunas have emerged from me, but they're not in me. Dharmesh, don't say everything's Brahman. Yeah, there is.
So when people blame God made me like this, God did this to me, oh, I was born like this, I have these desires, that's why I act like this. You have a mental choice to go against or change your destiny or change your desires or act upon your desires. That's what
Yeah.
he's saying.
So these qualities make up the world. As we said, sattva, rajas, tamas makes up this world. But Brahman's saying, but these qualities are not in me, meaning there's no, as Vanita said, there's no sattvic Brahman. There's no rajasic Brahman. There's no tamasic Brahman. Brahman doesn't have these qualities. Hard to understand. I mean, I'll give you an example. You go to the movies, you watch a movie. In the movie, the building is on fire. But you touch the screen is cool. It's not even warm. The film screen is saying, fire is in me, but I'm not in the fire. Projection screen is saying, the fire is in me, but I'm not in the fire. You see the terminology is very similar. Brahman is saying these qualities are in the world, but they're not in me. Even though it emerges from me, the screen is saying this fire emerges from me, but the fire is not in me. You have to think about it, Vinita.
It's like when you pray to an idol, the idol is to your limitation, God. But when you think beyond the idol, obviously then you're thinking of Brahman because
Yeah.
it's not subject to a idol or a
Absolutely.
constraint in something.
So the idol has qualities. It's 5 foot tall. It's made of stone. It has got colors. It's got a figure. It's got a form. Lakshmi ji, Ganesh ji, etc. So it represents Brahman, but those qualities are not in Brahman. Yeah, good example. But this is what it's saying. And the example giving here is oceans. Brahman projects the gunas, the qualities, their world, the expressions out of itself as the ocean projects waves from all their surface disturbances. The waves are in the ocean, but the ocean is not in the waves. The waves are limited, they go through birth and death. The ocean is unlimited, without birth or death. The waves are disturbed. Deep ocean supporting the waves remains ever quiet and serene. Similarly, the world may be disturbed, agitated. People are agitated, but Brahman remains peaceful and blissful. Thus, Brahman stays unaffected by the qualities and properties of the world it projects. So, the bottom line, very famous words spoken by a very famous person in this class. Brahman is everything. Whatever one is seeing and experiencing in this world is Brahman, since the universe is a projection on Brahman. The world may be disturbed, but Brahman is unaffected. Who said that? Brahman is everything. Whatever one is seeing and experiencing in this world is Brahman. Which famous person said that? In our class, Dharmesh. He's right. He's absolutely right. Ultimately, that is what it is. A nuclear weapon goes off. Hundred thousands are killed. Brahman is unaffected. Mankind cannot understand this concept. Hence, Lord Krishna is explaining that everything we know in the world is Brahman. Any clarifications? Any questions? Yeah, people get the idea. The qualities of the world doesn't represent the qualities of Brahman. Okay, verse 13. Read it, think about it. It needs contemplation. Tribir gunamayer bhave bi sarvamidam jagat mohitam na bijanati mamebhyah paramavyayam. Tribir gunamayer bhave bi sarvamidam jagat mohitam na bijanati mamebhyah paramavyayam. Deluded by these natures composed of the three gunas qualities, all this world does not know me well, as above them and immutable. Deluded by these natures composed of the three gunas qualities, all this world does not know me well, as above them and immutable. First paragraph.
Brahman, personified as Krishna, manifests as sattva, pure, rajasika, passionate, and tamasika, indolent, gunas, qualities. The three gunas in different combinations are permutations constitute the manifold beings of the world. People drawn towards worldly attachments disregard Brahman, not realizing the permanent, immutable nature of Brahman. They enmesh themselves in the impermanent, changing world. Deluded and lost, they seek temporary thrills from worldly attractions. Slowly they sink in the quagmire of perceptions, emotions, and thoughts. Brahman remains out of sight.
So this is the group we said in the beginning who do not believe in God. They have no concept of God. The world and all the different beings are therefore made up of the three qualities, sattva, rajas, tamas. We already said that. Different combination of these three qualities make up everything in the world. Ravi, could you put up that picture, please? This will give you a better idea. You see this? Brahman. These are the three qualities, rajas, tamasic, sattva. Brahman projecting through those three qualities creates the world. Everyone see that? Brahman through rajas, tamas, sattva create the world. Another example, white light. You put through a prism, it projects seven different colors. Same concept. Brahman projected through the three qualities, create the world. The world is changing, mutable. Brahman is unchanging. Yeah, everyone got a mental picture of that? Okay, thank you, Ravi. Because of these three qualities, we see the changing world, we don't see Brahman. To give you a better idea now. Because of those three qualities, we see the changing world. We don't see Brahman. Human beings are all made up of these three quality natures, serene, active, and lazy. We also have the same qualities in nature. Animal kingdom, you got the tamasic, lazy, don't want to move, nothing, animals, and you got one that are rummaging all the way, going here, there, and everywhere. And then you've got the serene, natured animals. So this is the world. People who are ignorant of the permanent nature of Brahman spend their life involved in the changing, impermanent world. So people who are ignorant of Brahman spend their time involved in the changing, impermanent world. Things are happening around them. They don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is my life this? Why is my life? Everything's changing. They have no understanding. Does that give you a better idea after that diagram? Does that give you a better understanding what the world is? They see the world instead of Brahman. In the world, the ignorant, meaning the deluded, the lost, unspiritual people are caught up and lost in perceptions, emotions, and thoughts. They have nowhere else to go. They think this will give them the peace and temporary solace. Does it give them the peace, temporary solace? Being successful in the world? Let's face it, that's what everyone's looking for, isn't it? Why doesn't it give peace and happiness? Why doesn't the world give you peace and happiness? Any idea? Yeah.
So your desires are insatiable and the attachment to the world as well.
Yeah. What else? Arunamin?
Because it's temporary and forever changing.
You get happiness today, but tomorrow it's gone. It doesn't last because the world is changing all the time. And we're chasing, 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 permanently chasing. Because we know nothing else. Up and down we go. Happy, miserable, happy, miserable. It doesn't matter how much money you have, etc. This is the world. And we're all experiencing this. Anyone disagree? Everyone, anyone here can say, or know anyone who can say, I'm permanently happy. I'm never miserable. You'll never find anyone. Remember.
So as an example, if you look at a day, right, 12 hours in a day, and maybe you've done your reading in the morning, then you've attended a class like this, and you really feel like this is all possible. Then you get drawn into what your duties and responsibilities are. And I know we've covered this before, but I think it wouldn't harm us to talk about it again, just as a reminder now. And, you know, the things that will really, what are the key things that we can hold on to just get us through those interactions and activities, our responsibilities, but still retain, you know, are we supposed to only think of Brahma, you know, through our actions and through our words? Why do we lose it all the time, though? And it just seems to slip away. And then we have to remind ourselves because, you know, it doesn't always go as we plan. We'd like to, but it doesn't always go as we plan.
$1 million question, Arunavin's question.
And we're all putting in the effort. It's not that
absolutely.
We're not trying.
You're absolutely right. It's okay, let's have a quick discussion on that. Why is that? Vinita, why?
Unfortunately, it's the desires that we have, and then we haven't got the capacity in the wisdom to then think and control ourselves in our life, where it may be small things or big things, and that's what draws us back into the world each time, and the people around us as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not even the desires. You may not have a desire for things, or you just have. I think it's not like you set out to do certain things or say certain things or behave in a certain way, But things just seems to develop. And I know that it's a kind of a rhetorical question because I do know that unless you put the self-effort in, but it seems like there just seems to be something going on which despite all effort, sometimes it just makes it like a very, very uphill battle. And unless you're not, it can be disheartening.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anyone else still? Okay, Shashi, you go first.
I was going to say, is it because of our five senses that are always in contact with the outside world, which are kind of overtaking the sort of sattvic side of us, and we're battling against it constantly, and that is taking over what we really want to be, and taking us away really from what we want to be, where we want to go.
Yeah, good point. Our five senses are drawn to the world. Gabriel, you had something to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it because we're still developing our intellect, and because our intellect is still not strong enough, there are times obviously when the mind is in control and not the intellect.
All of you are correct because there's so many different aspects to this question. Shilabin, what did you have to say?
I think because we get attached to other people's emotions.
Okay, emotions, that's
But that's
another aspect.
why we get affected. If we don't get affected and just observe, and we can detach from that, then we won't be fully sattvic, but a certain percentage can conform us.
Yeah, absolutely. You're all right. Absolutely. So.
There's this aspect, isn't it, that we're studying, that the world is made up of the three gunas, so are we. So there are always going to be that time frame where there's friction of one sort or another because we're coming into contact. So we have our own gunas, then we come into contact with other person's gunas, which are at a different level as well. And what Arunabhen is asking is, what can we hold on to help us get through that time to think more of Brahman. So I suppose one way might be that every time we are serving or doing anything, we're doing it for Brahman rather than for my child, for my husband, for whoever you're doing. Just say that you're doing it for Brahman. And whatever you get in return, be it good or bad or indifferent, regard it as Brahman giving back to me. So we're always serving and receiving with gratitude, regardless of whether it's good or bad or indifferent. So that might be a way, I don't know. I mean,
This question is basically, if you know the answer to this question, you're there. It's the ultimate question on the spiritual path. What? Yeah, Benita.
I suppose, how do you control your emotions? Because that is what Arunabhen is saying, okay, you're sattvic when you're reading something and you feel that way inclined and you feel better, then something happens in that day, like you said, 3 hours later, you've had a bad experience. Now you're drawn back into the world. So you how do you control your emotions to say, well, this is only going to be, how do I reflect? I can say, okay, I'm going to be angry, or I can say, it is what it is, and I just have to deal with it. It's you as a person and your personality, and how you can change the way you respond, because you can't change how other people are. You can only change how you are.
Absolutely.
Ultimately, the responsibility is ours, isn't
You see, ultimately, what is your goal in life? Until you define that goal and you go for that goal, only then you can walk that path. In the morning, your goal is, I want to be self-realized for that 1 hour while you're studying. But the other 11 hours, you're in the world. That thought, that goal is diluted. And it's not your fault. You got the five senses, as Shashi said. You got your emotions, as Shilaben said. Yeah. You've got desires, as Anita said. All of those things, you're fighting. You got your nature. You got your attachments, your family, your friends, your work. All these things, how can you fight all these things? Hence, I'll read you a quick last paragraph from verse 15, which we'll cover next week now. Krishna mentions here that spiritual enlightenment is rather difficult to attain. Lord Krishna is saying spiritual enlightenment is rather difficult to attain. One must put in tremendous effort to reach the ultimate state. Also, the effort requires a determined, unflinching, single-pointed pursuit of the self alone. Only with a such well-resolved pursuit can he cross over the illusory world. Now, from what Lord Krishna said, how much of that are we doing? That's for next class, by the way. But it just answers your question. See, we chase after the world. We're extroverted majority of the time. All our faculties are focusing into the world, correct? Once after morning study is finished. You're looking for God. You said, I'm looking for God. I'm looking for Brahman. Why am I like this? But where are you looking for God? Where are you looking for Brahman? In the world. While you're doing your daily activities, you're looking for Brahman in the world, where it is difficult to find. We just covered it in this paragraph. We can't understand it. Brahman is this world, but we can't understand it. But the goal is to become introvert. If you become introvert, God is a lot easier to find because it's within us. But we're going extrovert, and it's not our fault. This is our makeup. Throughout the day, that's what we're doing. Hence, in that verse, paragraph, Lord Krishna is saying, it's very difficult. Yeah.
Going off to the Himalayas sounds very appealing.
Well, why do you think these great gurus...
But that's not the goal, yeah. You're supposed to do it in the world.
Why do these great gurus end up in Rishikesh, Himalayas, in a cave? Why? So they can get away from all those worldly attachments, desires, everything. They're surrounded by Brahman in beauty, in the natural beauty of the place. And it allows them then to become more sattvic, more focused on their goal.
And yet there is something about being sattvic in the world that we live in, with the people that we live, and being able to really come through that. I think that seems a great experience if one can achieve that. Whereas that's going off to the Himalayas, it's just sometimes seems like running away from responsibilities or, you know, that. So we've learned that in our classes that you're supposed to practice that where we are as we go along.
See, we've already created our bed. For 50 years, we've created our bed. We have to lie in it now. You know, but we can lie in it with the knowledge, without ignorance of what our goal is. There's a big difference. Yeah. And, you know, we can change the furnishing inside the bed. That much we can do, but we've already created our bed. You know, as you just said, we can't all drop our responsibilities to go in the Himalayas. We can't. We're all homeowners. We're coming that category of homeowners, meaning we have families, etc. So it's having this sattvic, developing this sattvic nature, gaining this knowledge, so you can be happy in your life, and you can then contemplate on Brahman more. Because if you're agitated, you can't. So you can at least do that. Forget about self-realization. Just become a better human being, more calm. Yeah, Vanita, did you have a question?
It's almost like we've got like a little default that we're born with, which is like unfortunate. that we have that.
Yeah.
And we have to figure that out, isn't it?
See, in other words, you can actually say being born is miserable.
And also a great opportunity, though. Being born is a great opportunity as well.
Of course it is. It's a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, we're also blessed because we're gaining knowledge of life. As we said in the beginning of this class, most people are ignorant. You know, we can see a path at least. We can see a goal. Most people, they don't have that vision. So we're blessed. Let's finish this verse. Anita? Paragraph 2.
Jesus Christ declares the same truth. He that findeth his life shall not lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. St. Matthew chapter 10, 39. One who merely seeks worldly gratifications shall lose the supreme God. But he who detaches himself from the worldly pursues the supreme, my sake, shall find the supreme. Your life's attachments will therefore depend upon your focus of attention. If you seek only the limited wealth of this world and you will gain that alone. Iron and gold are good for buying iron and gold. That's all, says Swami Ramatirtha. However, if you seek the supreme self, sacrificing your material and sensual gratifications, you will gain the supreme. It is the law. It is like a simple
optical phenomenon.
Hold your forefinger erect and a few inches away from your eye. Focus your attention on the finger. Notice how the background goes out of focus. Now, focus your attention on the background. The finger goes out of focus. So it is with the world and God. Focus on one, you have lost the other.
So the great Swami Ramatirtha said, iron and gold are only good for buying iron and gold. Everyone is pursuing iron and gold, wealth. Can you buy God with iron and gold? People go to temples and think that they can buy God by giving large donations or this or that. You can't buy that. Iron and gold can only buy iron and gold. God is not made up of iron and gold. One who searches the world for happiness will not see me. Brahman. Those who detach themselves from the world and its material and sensual pleasures and instead pursue the self within will find true happiness and discover their true nature, which is Brahman, which is God. So it's once again changing our focus. Jesus Christ is talking about the consciousness, Brahman. He who is happy, content in the world will lose the consciousness. Meaning he thinks he's all right. I don't need God. I'm happy in the world. I have this, I have that, I have everything. If you pursue God, Brahman, then he will lose his life, meaning his worldly pleasures. He won't be satisfied with life. He'll always be searching until he becomes one with Brahman. He'll never be content in life, no matter what he has. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Any clarifications? So, this is the state of this world. This is the state of us. We have some idea, clarity of what needs to be done. Just concentrate on increasing your sattva with morning study, start morning study, and automatically things will start falling into place. Half an hour in the morning when you wake up, sets your day up. If you get into that habit, you'll start seeing your life changing. Just that one little thing. less distraction. Okay, any other questions, any other clarifications? So we'll finish the last two verses of this topic, very interesting topic, next week. So we'll see you then. Hari Om.
Hari Om. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.